Father, thank you so much for this evening. Father, thank you for this opportunity to gather together in your name, in your presence, with your people to sing your praises. Father, thank you for everything that's about to come. And Father, tonight we join our hearts together. And Lord, we pray for the people of Umpqua, Lord. We pray for this community, Lord, that is so badly hurting tonight. We ask, God, that the peace of God would settle over the atmosphere of that community college campus and, Lord, over that entire city and region. Lord, we pray for the families, Lord, who lost loved ones, students, Lord, so young and so full of promise, Lord. Father, we pray that the God of all comfort, Lord, would come to their aid. Lord, we pray for all of the shooting victims who are recovering in hospital, Lord. We ask, Lord, that you would just minister to them. And Father, I pray, Lord, that you would be glorified in the midst of this tragedy, Lord. I pray, Father, that out of this, Lord, would come a tremendous spiritual renewal in that community, Lord. Father, we thank you for these things and thank you for speaking to us through your word. In the mighty name of Jesus, if your heart agrees with that, would you just say amen and amen? Well, this evening we're going to change things up a little bit. If this is your first time worshiping with us, you joined us on an exciting evening. Our ministry leaders have prepared a ministry fair for you in the lower parking lot behind the church building. And in just a few moments, we're going to invite you to go down to the tent and enjoy the ministry fair. This is an opportunity for you to get involved with the many different ministries of our church. If you only worship with us on weekends here at harvest time, maybe it's time for you to get a little bit more involved. On Wednesday evenings, we have tremendous programs for the whole family. We have an excellent scouting program for boys and girls. This sanctuary is going to get renovated into our new youth center. And the teens have already taken over this sanctuary every Wednesday evening. We had 90 teenagers at youth group this last Wednesday evening, middle schoolers and high schoolers. We have many different discipleship classes for adults. Pastor Nick is teaching on the book of Genesis right now on Wednesday evenings. And I want to tell you, you will not find anywhere a better Bible teacher than Pastor Nick. And maybe you've gotten out of the habit of attending Bible study. Maybe in another season in your life with your responsibilities, work, and family, maybe it wasn't possible for you to go, but maybe it's time for you to get back into that groove. There are many different prayer groups that meet throughout the week. Maybe you should join one of them. We have a brand new worship night for young adults that's kicking off tomorrow evening at 7:30. The ministry fair is also an opportunity for you to volunteer to serve God by serving others. You know, it's a little counterintuitive, but actually when our bigger building is finished, it's going to help us to be a closer knit congregation. Right now, because of the very tight schedule that we run on weekends, it's a little bit hard to get to know people. One group rushes out and another group rushes in. There's literally no place in this building to even stand and have a chat with someone. Our new building is going to give us a lot of great space for that. But in the meantime, serving in a ministry is a great way to meet people and to make new friends. We have some great food prepared for you downstairs, so I hope you'll go down for just a great time of fellowship. Your connection card, would you fill that out? Everybody, would you fill that out? And maybe even if we already have your information, maybe you have a new cell phone number. Maybe you have a new email address. Many times I go to contact people. Sometimes people contact me and I go to contact them back and I find that the information in our records isn't exactly up to date. So perhaps you'd like to fill that out, and if you'll turn it in down on the lower level in the tent, we'll enter you for the drawing for a new iPad. Okay, we also have a little tent set up on the side, and that's to meet some new people. If you're new to our church family, if Denise and I have never had a chance to meet you, to shake your hand, to get to know your name, we'd love you to stop by to that little smaller tent to the side just so we can meet you. That's where the really good food is, so you can come into the, if you're new, come into the little tent, and we'll take care of you. But just before we head downstairs, I want to share communion with you, and I want to share with you three quick thoughts on what is communion. The first thought is this: communion is an act of worship. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul addresses the problem of Christians attending banquets in pagan temples in the city of Corinth. You know, in our day and age, it's a little bit hard to wrap our minds around how big of a problem that was, but the temples in the city of Corinth were the catering halls. Every kind of business meeting, every kind of social event, every birthday party, every wedding celebration, every business guild meeting or chamber of commerce meeting was held in a pagan temple. And so if you were a Christian, it was almost impossible to avoid being invited to go to something in a pagan temple. But Paul says that it was important for Christians not to go because a banquet at a temple represented an act of worship in the presence of that deity, just as communion is an act of worship in the presence of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Communion is a celebration of who God is. He is the God who has revealed himself in the incarnation, in the ministry of Christ, in the cross of Jesus Christ. He's the God who gave himself to save us. He's the God who offers us forgiveness of our sins and cleansing from the stain of sin and freedom from the grip of sin. And this table symbolizes that God became human flesh and blood, and that he offered his life on the cross as a payment in full for the penalty of my sin. Communion is thankfulness for what God has provided for me personally. Jesus lifted up the bread and he lifted up the cup and he gave thanks for them. And whenever I see this table prepared with the bread and with the cup, I give thanks also for the spiritual provision that they symbolize. As I come forward to receive communion personally, I come with thanksgiving in my heart that I have become a recipient of the provisions of the cross. The forgiveness that was purchased on the cross, I have received personally. The cleansing from sin, the freedom from sin that Christ purchased on the cross, I have received personally. The new relationship with God the Father that Jesus made possible through the cross, I have received personally. Communion is an act of worship during which God is present with us in a special way. You know, God is always with those of us who belong to him in Christ. But when we gather together for worship, he's with us in a special way. His presence is manifest in a special way that strengthens us. His authority is manifest in a special way that subdues the enemy and sends him running away from us. While we're listening to the preaching and the teaching of the word, God is with us in another special way. His voice speaks to us through his word and gives us direction. And while we're gathered at this table celebrating communion together, we experience his presence in yet another special way. He renews our weary spirit, and he refreshes the joy of our salvation. Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." That word remembrance is a special word. It means to vividly relive something, to experience it again, to feel the feelings all over again. And I believe that that's what happens during communion. It reminds us each of that moment when we first believed on him. And those feelings of awe and wonder and love are refreshed. I also believe that he's present in a very special way during communion to heal our bodies physically. What is communion? Three quick thoughts. Communion is an act of worship. And second, communion is an act of faith. Communion is an expression of faith that God has acted in human history. When we come to this table, we testify that we believe that there was a man called Jesus of Nazareth, that he was the promised Jewish Messiah and the Son of God. We testify that we believe he had a supernatural ministry and lived a perfect life of sinless obedience to God. We testify that we believe on the night he was betrayed, he took bread and broke it, and he took a cup and he blessed it in an upper room. We testify that we believe he was crucified on a Roman cross, God's spotless Passover lamb, and that God raised him again on the third day. We testify that we believe that his blood inaugurated a new covenant that supersedes the old covenant and accomplishes a spiritual transformation inside the hearts of men that the old covenant could never do. Communion is an expression of faith that I'm forgiven in him. When we come to this table to receive the bread and the cup, we come with joyful confidence. We approach him confidently because we know that since we have believed, we have received everything this bread and cup represents. Jesus made it perfectly clear that this is not a literal eating of his body and blood, but it is a symbolic eating. The bread and the juice do not become something else. They symbolize something else. The grounds of my forgiveness, the cross of Jesus Christ. Communion, this is my favorite point of the whole little sermonette here, so catch this one. Communion is an expression of faith that Christ is coming at the end of human history and that I will share a banquet with him then. Amen. Communion is past, it is present, and it is future. Communion commemorates the upper room and the cross. Communion celebrates the benefits of the cross that I am presently experiencing. And communion also anticipates Christ's return to earth and the banquet that I will share with him then. Beloved, can I tell you, communion is a powerful statement of hope in the midst of a tumultuous world. Thursday in Oregon, a 26-year-old systematically executed Christians on a college campus. But this table gives me hope because it reminds me that Jesus is coming again. Christians in the Middle East are being butchered. Women and little girls are being sold into sex slavery by ISIS. While Christian children are still alive, ISIS is harvesting their organs and selling them on the black market. But this table gives me hope because it reminds me that Jesus is coming again. Russia and China and Iran are teaming up to take control of the entire Middle East. What could possibly go wrong there? But this table gives me hope because it reminds me that Yeshua, the Jewish Messiah, the Savior of the world, is coming again to save his people. And when he comes again, he will administer perfect justice. He will make right every wrong. He will punish every evildoer, and he will reward every faithful believer in him. And then we will sit down and we will eat together. You know, in the New Testament, there's only one designation for this table. It's the Lord's table. It's the Lord's Supper. Jesus was the host in the upper room. His disciples were his honored guests. And every time we come and we gather at this table, Jesus is the real host, not the pastor. It's Jesus, and we are all his honored guests. And at the marriage supper of the Lamb, at the end of this age, Jesus again will be the host, and we will all be his honored guests. Do you know what Jesus told us in Luke 12, verse 37? He said that he himself will wait on us. Now, there's a thought that's so sublime, it's hard to even wrap your head around that. What is communion? Three quick thoughts. Communion is an act of worship. It's an act of faith. And finally, communion is an act of bonding. Communion binds us with all believers in Christ throughout history. Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 10 reveal something awesome about communion. It's a spiritual experience that is consistent with the faith of the Old Testament patriarchs and saints and prophets. Communion is the next step forward in salvation history from their time, instituted by Yeshua, by Jesus himself. When we gather at this table, we are bonding with those patriarchs in faith. Their faith looked ahead in time to Messiah, and ours looks back, but it's the same faith. When we gather at this table, we're practicing the faith of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. We're practicing the faith of Moses and Joshua and David and Isaiah. Paul says that the forefathers of the Jewish people are also the forefathers of the Christian church. The Old Testament is the church's book too. We are in continuity with the saving work of God through history. When we gather at this table, we're practicing the faith of the 12 that were gathered with Jesus in the upper room on the night he was betrayed. We're practicing the faith of the 120 that were gathered in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. We're practicing the faith of Stephen and Barnabas and Paul and Silas and Luke and Timothy and John Mark. We're practicing the faith of Clement of Rome and Ignatius of Antioch and Polycarp of Smyrna and Irenaeus and Origen and Athanasius and John Chrysostom and Tertullian and Ambrose and Jerome and Augustine of Hippo and Thomas Aquinas, and on it goes. We're bonding with all believers of all time who have worshipfully approached this table in faith. Communion also binds us together as a local body in our common experience in Christ. Paul says communion has a unifying effect in the local church. It is a coming together. Though we come from many different walks of life, though we are male and female, though we are different skin colors, though we have vastly different life experiences and economic situations, though we have vastly different interests and preferences, we all share a common experience now that trumps everything else. We've all had an encounter with Jesus that has changed us forever. We've received his forgiveness. We've received his cleansing. We've experienced his freedom. We've been overwhelmed by his mercy. We've been baptized in his love. We have his indwelling Holy Spirit. And though the circumstances of our daily lives be very different, when we come to this table, what I'm feeling in my heart, he's feeling over there, and she's feeling over there, and he's feeling back there, and she's feeling back there, we feel it all over this room. And that's what bonds us together into a unique community that's unlike anything else on this earth. Paul says that this table is a supernatural koinonia, a supernatural fellowship. We bond with Christ, and Christ bonds us with one another. Communion reminds us that we're all equal in Christ. You know, when people are gathered around a table to eat, everyone at the table is regarded as an equal. They're all seated at a table that is the same level. They're all served the same food. The table isn't higher at one end where the important people are sitting and lower at the other end where the less important people are seated. They don't set out some food at one end of the table for the dignitaries and lesser quality food at the other end of the table, no. And though you might just be a peasant, if you're invited to the king's table, you're treated on par with the king himself. So it is at the Lord's table. Paul says, though we are each unique, though we are each so diverse, we all eat from the same loaf, Jesus, and therefore we are all equal in him. Communion helps us to forgive others when we're struggling. Communion reminds us that God in Christ has forgiven us the sum total of all of our sins. He's forgiven us a debt we could never, ever repay. In comparison to what he's forgiven us, the hurt, the betrayal, the loss that we're holding against someone else is still much smaller. And if God has forgiven us all, then we can forgive others too. Not in our strength alone, but in the strength that he gives us. Isn't it amazing that Jesus instituted this meal that supernaturally brings us together on the very night that Judas betrayed him and all the rest abandoned him? And if you're struggling to forgive someone, as you come to this table, simply say, Lord, thank you for forgiving me. Now give me the grace to forgive others. At the end of 1 Corinthians 11, Paul issues a stiff warning against receiving communion in another unworthy manner. And beloved, listen to this. We should take note. Paul doesn't say not to come to the table unworthily. He says not to come in an unworthy manner. The distinction is important. Paul does not mean by these words that if we've sinned in the last week, that we can't come and approach this table, although we certainly should confess our sins and receive Christ's cleansing. But what Paul means specifically here is that we should approach this table with our heart in the right place toward our fellow believers in the body of Christ. We should approach this table with a deep sense of belonging to one another in Christ. We should approach this table with a sense of being equals in Christ. We're not equal on earth, but we're equal in Christ. We should approach this table with a forgiven heart and a forgiving heart. And we should approach this table in the confidence that we as a body are doing the very best that we can to minister to the practical and the physical needs of those among us who might need our help. What is communion? Three quick thoughts. Communion is an act of worship, it's an act of faith, and it's an act of bonding. As we approach this table tonight, let's approach it with hearts full of celebration. Let's approach with thanksgiving. Let's approach in awe and wonder at who God is and what he's done for us. Let's approach this table tonight with a sense of holy anticipation. And let's approach with love for one another. Would you stand on your feet this evening? And would you give Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, a great big praise in this place? Oh, come on, let's give him a great big praise tonight. Let's worship him. Come on, how great is his love for us? Let's sing.
Oh, oh, how great your love is for me. Oh, 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 how great is your love. Oh, 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 how great your love is for me. Oh, oh.
Love is so much sweeter than
anything I've tasted. I want to know your heart. I want to know your
heart. Come on, would you give the Lord one more praise in this place this evening? Oh, don't give him a wimpy praise. Give him a good praise tonight. Thank you, Lord. I ask those that are waiting on us if they would come to serve us tonight. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, we invite you to come to this table tonight. Come with your heart overflowing with everything that this table represents. We're going to invite you to leave your seat, come down the center aisle, and receive your serving of communion. We have a cup that has a serving of juice in it. There's a foil cover over that. On top of that is a wafer under a plastic cover. Just take that serving of communion. You can return to your seats using the side aisles. And when everyone has been served, we're going to receive communion together. The worship team's going to lead us in worship while you come. Come on, come with thanksgiving in your heart. Come.
Because I'm forgiven, because you were forsaken, and I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me, because you died and rose again. So I'm forgiven, I'm forgiven, because you were forsaken. I'm accepted, I'm accepted, you were condemned. I'm alive and well, I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me, because you died and rose again. Amazing love, amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, and I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you, 'cause you are my.
I received from the Lord that which I also pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was handed over, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's give thanks right now for the broken body of our Lord. Jesus, I pray that our hearts would overflow with thanksgiving for all that you've provided for us in the cross. Jesus, thank you that your body was broken so that we might be made whole in every way, whole in our innermost being, whole in our connection with the Father, whole in our spirit, whole in our thinking, whole in our emotions, whole in our decision making, whole in our relationships, whole in our speech, whole in our soul. Jesus, we thank you that your body was broken so that even these physical bodies, Lord, will be made whole. We thank you for the promise of redemption. We thank you for the hope, Lord, of transformation. We thank you for the marriage supper that's awaiting us when our bodies will be transformed into heavenly bodies. And we thank you that in the meantime, healing is still the children's bread. Father, I pray that as we receive this bread tonight, this symbol, I pray that you'd release all over this room the grace of healing, Lord. I pray that you'd heal every infirmity, every sickness, every illness, every injury, every malady, Lord. I pray you'd heal it in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you that Jesus' body was broken so that we who were not a people, we who were once scattered and many, could now become the people of God, the body of Christ. I pray as we receive this bread tonight, you'd release into the atmosphere of our local body the beautiful unity of this beautiful unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Father, we thank you for these things in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Let's receive this bread together. Thank you, O Lord. Come on, church, would you just thank him right now? We thank you, we thank you, we thank you. Listen, if there's someone here you need a healing tonight of any kind, I want you to just lift up your hand to the Lord right now. And I want you to just receive that healing by faith in what Christ has done for us on the cross. Come on, would you lift up your hand and would you just say this with me? Father, I believe. Come on, that was weak. Father, I believe. Father, I receive. In Jesus' name. In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let's give thanks. Father, thank you now that we have been redeemed, not by perishable things like gold or silver, but by the precious blood of Jesus, the spotless Lamb of God. Father, thank you that though our sins were as scarlet, you've washed us whiter than snow. And thank you for your promise that if we sin, we have an advocate with you, Jesus, the righteous one. And if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from unrighteousness. So, Father, right now, by faith in the cross of Jesus Christ, we receive everything purchased for us on Calvary. In his name, we all pray. And if you agree, would you say with me, amen and amen. Let's receive the cup together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on, church. Would you just love on him one more time? Would you just thank him one more time? Bless him one more time? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. The ushers are coming. They're going to pass a container down your row. You can put your empty communion cup in the container as it goes by you. Would you sing one more time? Amazing love, how can it be?
Amazing love, how can it be? My King would die for me. Amazing love.